Welcome to my Secrets for Hiring Good Employees. Before we're finished today, you're going to have three secrets to hiring good employees, hopefully great employees, and never hiring bad employees. I've done it. I've done it repeatedly, and I'm going to tell you how. You know, there is a really great pain around this. It is a pain in the, name your body part, when you get a bad employee. You have employees who are not listening to your directions. Employees that don't take direction, and it seems like they are proliferating these days. It's a pain to have to fire someone. It's doubly painful when you don't have someone to replace them, and the increased training requirements I'm hearing are adding to that pain. And it's a pain to keep an employee who is not taking your direction. It brings morale down for everyone. It increases your time commitments. We talked about that last time. Incidentally, this is a series of three free, in terms of information, free trainings, short trainings, on some of the biggest problems that directors have. And the last one was the time pressure, how to squeeze back on that time pressure. And so you know that if you have an employee who's not taking direction, it takes you more time because you have to deal with the messes that that employee makes. You have to de-stress, and so does everyone else. But worse than that, it degrades the culture that you want to cultivate in your center. You want to be a high-quality center. You want to be a happy center. You want to be a center that's focused on the children and serves the families, and something else is going on. And that employee who you need to fire has been going in the wrong direction, and she will take other people with her in one way or another. You can't have that. You just can't have it. Now, you want to address it with proper training. Training through correct evaluation, rewarding directly for the individual where it's appropriate. Training for your whole staff. And it's wonderful when the staff corrects the staff. I had it. Situation where I had to fire someone, terrible as it was. And so the junior members of the staff were kind of inquiring from each other, like, what is happening? And another senior member of the staff said, you know, I am not curious about that. And that answer and the way she gave it let the junior employees know that it wasn't going to help them to inquire into someone else's business. And it just quieted everything down. Also, she showed that she wasn't worried that this was somehow an arbitrary issue, action on my part, and so that calmed the fears down. And the other senior staff, of course, probably knew why, but they weren't going to talk about it because that wasn't what they were there for. So that was wonderful. The culture, we had already cultured a good team, and so it was wonderful. But now occasionally you have someone who just won't take direction. And there are a few in the population, as I say that. And so I'm going to give you my secrets to how to do that. First off, let me tell you a little bit about me. I have been doing training since the 80s. Consulting for small businesses since the 90s, and I focus on helping particularly CDC directors and especially those who are church affiliated, because I am strongly positioned to do that. I started my work life in early childhood education. I am Montessori trained from St. Nicholas. I have been, I guess, every position. I've been a teacher in the corporate environment. I have worked in small business, early childhood. I have been a director. I've been a director in a church-affiliated school. I've been a pastor over director. And I do teach in higher ed. But my primary focus is as a small business owner training directors, and of course serving them also by training their staff and doing consulting. And I know of no other trainer who can do all that I can do, who covers the business consulting. And you know, because business consultants charge a whole lot more than early childhood educators, but I just have a heart for you, and I'm focused on you, and I have a proven track record. Please go and see a few of my testimonials that I've posted on the website, www.orgstrat.net. I think you'll find unbeatable quality with ridiculously competitive prices, and we'll have some fun too. But the most important thing is that I'm going to make a real difference in your life, a transformation in your center. If you know how to reduce your time commitment, if you know how to hire better people, if you avoid the big mistakes in training, and this is the three topics that we're going to deal with in this series, you're going to transform your work life and your center, and that's what we're about. And I'm not afraid to give the information away for free. Anybody who can find it on the web can hear it. And hallelujah, we've got more where that comes from. So information is free. Now, to take my time to print you off a certificate and mail it to you, well, I'll charge you a nominal fee for that. Directions about that will be at the end. But anyway, let me tell you also a little story that shows you how I use this. And by the way, I'd love to know about you. So, you know, email me, give me your comments, tell me about you, send your questions, write me whatever, and I'll give you the instructions how to do that at the end. I was hired to be the director in a center that was on the point of closing. Of course, they didn't tell me that when they hired me, but they had such great staff problems, such great conflict on the board, and that they had already run a deficit in their budget. So when I came on in the summer, this was a preschool, so it ran during the school year, but I came on in the summer, and I saw the staff, most of the staff was not going to return. And when they had a little tea for me to meet the existing teachers, I saw right away that we had some serious problems. One of the teachers was doing things that impinged upon good management principles. Let's just say that. In fact, she boasted that she had run off the previous director. She thought she was unfireable. In fact, the board had tried and not been successful at firing her. Yes, that's what I said. And so my first task, really, besides getting oriented to the situation and finding out what it was, and there were other serious problems. You just name the list of serious problems that you can have, and yes, we had those. So besides finding out all of these things, which I wasn't told up front, the next item on my agenda was to fire her. And remember, the board had already tried to fire her and failed. So once I fired her, I had to hire 3/4 of my staff. That was the 1st of July. And by the 1st of September, I needed to have a working staff to try to get enrollment up and budget up and get this airplane that was crashing to fly right. I needed to hire correctly and get a staff together, and 3/4 of my staff, and I needed to do it now. Fortunately, I knew I had a little talent in hiring staff. I had done it before, and you know, boy, I was praying, Lord, don't let that fail me now. Hiring 3/4 of my staff and making a working team in a context that had been highly conflictual So what am I going to do? Well, this was 2007, 2008 time frame. So I was able to advertise in several ways, and I think that we used Craigslist at that time in the Austin area, and different cities are connected to a different level and technology changes. So that's not necessarily one of my suggestions. I'm going to say advertise in the best place. Recruit by buttonholing if you can. You can't always do that. You have to find out what is the best advertising venue for your location. And you might try several and test them, because where you advertise will influence what kind you get. One way that many corporations are doing now is asking their employees to recruit for them and giving a bonus to an employee if they get an employee that works. That may or may not work depending on who your existing employees were. And if you don't know who they are, then I wouldn't recommend that. So that's a tip, free tip, and I'm going to give you, I promise to give you three. So number one is to listen, to observe very carefully, particularly immediately when they come in. You need to be very quiet in yourself and very observant in yourself. And the first things that they do, you need to notice. It is amazing the extent to which this is not noticed. It is amazing the extent to which we are so caught up in our own noise level, internal noise level that we don't see. But it's obvious. When you see someone who comes in for the interview and who is not dressed properly, that they don't have a great deal of respect for you. You know, a presentation of self and deference. So that's obvious. But do notice that. It's obvious, as if you have, as I had, sitting there in the job interview, if someone takes a phone call in the middle of the interview, they're probably going to take phone calls in the middle of taking care of the children. So obviously she's not one that got hired. Observe what people do, particularly at the beginning, and what they say, because what they do and what they say, they will probably do and say more as they get more comfortable. When I was hired, my first corporate job in early childhood, the director did this, and this is my tip, written very large. I had a job interview at 2 o'clock, and I showed up, you know, about 10 to 2, 5 to 2 something. And I was ushered into the lunchroom to wait until the director was ready for me. And about a few minutes, a child wandered into the lunchroom. A child wandered in and came and sat down at the table. Now, I kind of wondered why a child would wander into the lunchroom by themselves. And I guess the child maybe was 3 or something and sat down at the table. And so I whiled my time away by talking with the child. I asked what the child's name was, and, you know, we just had a nice little chat. And it was some time before that director came, but, you know, about 10 minutes after 2, director came in the lunchroom, and I said, her name was Davis, Mrs. Davis, so-and-so here, you know, let's say Celia. Celia here has just been chatting with me. She's in Miss Brown's 3-year-old class. I'm not quite sure what she's doing here. I thought maybe, you know, snack time, but no one's shown up here. I thought maybe a child had gotten out. Miss Davis smiled knowingly and gave the child to her her assistant director. And Celia, whoever her name was taken back. Mrs. Davis was a great, kind lady and a good director. And it wasn't until years later I figured out that Miss Davis had sent that child in there to see how I would treat the child, what I would do. And I had a nice chat with the conversation with the child, and the child was happy and child was safe. And then I did acknowledge that I knew the child shouldn't be wandering around, and I was hired. And I think that was so wise on Mrs. Davis's part. And I'm sure she's gone to be with the Lord now, because, you know, we were a lot of age difference then. And that was a long time ago. But I do recommend that you observe how your prospective employees deal with children. You know, are they wrapped up in children? Or are children just a bother to them? And you can tell. And that waiting period, what they do in the waiting period, very interesting. Listen and watch how they comport themselves with you, with other staff members, and with the children. That is tip number one. Tip number two is you can save time by asking them open-ended questions. Many questions that most people use have obvious answers. Ask some questions that don't have obvious answers. For instance, maybe you're in a church-affiliated school, and you're going to ask the teachers and even the assistant teachers. You might say, you know, this probably would never happen. And it's the senior teachers, the lead teacher who devises the curriculum. But say, for instance, if for some odd reason this happened, that you walked in one day and the lead teacher's not there. And you can't find her lesson plans. And, you know, a substitute's coming. But, oh boy, what are you going to do today? You need to have something to do all day, and particularly, so ask him if they, and so they off the cuff then have to come up with a plan of a day. Can they do that? I particularly wanted to know, to fit into a particular center I was directing, I asked, so you have to do the Bible lesson today. What would you do, and what kind of activities would you put with it? And so I find out how much this prospective employee knows about Bible lessons, about lesson construction. I noticed nearly everyone used Noah's Ark. Is that the only Bible story they know? But anyway, so ask them what Bible lesson you choose, and what kind of games and artwork would you use with it if you had to do something right off the cuff. You can find out a lot about somebody with that question. Do they know a Bible story? Maybe that's of no interest to you, but that's, you know, the question could be a little different. Do they know any Newbery Award winners? Do they know any good children's stories? And can they come up with a game and an artwork? Or do they just say, I don't know? And which employee would you like the best? So, you can save time and grief and get the best employee by seeing how they behave with you, with other staff, and with children. You can save time and grief and get the best employee by asking well-crafted, open-ended questions. That's tip number two. Tip number three is you can save time and grief by calling the references. It appears to me that a whole lot of people don't call references. Now, some professionals will be busy, so you shouldn't judge the applicant based on how quickly you get a hold of somebody. You know, because if they put down a homemaker and you call a homemaker, she may answer you right away. But if she's calling, you know, some busy professional like a pastor, you may not get right away. So that may not be the applicant's problem. But if you call a reference and they say, you ask them, would you hire this person again? And they say, do you think she's a really good teacher? And they say, Now, so many employers are not answering, but that other employers are not asking. Now, I called and I usually got answers. And if they give that answer, well, we just don't discuss it later in the interview, then that's a red flag. Now, if you call them up and say, you know, I'm so-and-so, director so-and-so, and I'm calling references, and they say, well, this is HR of XYZ Corporation, and we can't answer anything. Well, that's their policy. But if they say, yes, she worked for us, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that's a red flag. I had an employee who walked off the job. She was a toddler teacher, and she walked off the job in the middle of the day. And I went back to her references after that, and I realized the reference that she gave me were all old. Now I understand why unexplained holes in your job performance. She had walked off of a series of jobs. And that's why she didn't have references for years. She had been steadily employed, because it's fairly hard to find toddler teachers, but she just had a habit of walking off. And you know, you can't have people who walk off. That's unacceptable. And if people had known that, they wouldn't have hired her. So call the references, pay attention to what they say, and if there is a hole in the references, well, you might get somebody to say, well, I was just taking care of my children, and that might be true, but you're going to need to observe them very carefully to see if they are telling you the truth. So those are my three tips. Observe carefully. Two, ask open-ended questions. Three, call the references. And there are whole books written about telling if someone's lying to you. You might not always get it. But if you follow these three tips, you will sort out almost all of the bad employees, and you will be able to sort out and find the best employees. And you want good, you want great. And then once you have people who can be trained, who can take direction, who can do what you want, who can be good teachers, you can inspire them to be great teachers by giving them clear direction. Even the best people in the wrong environment will fail to come up with optimal results. If you want optimal results, hire the best people and give them clear direction, the best training, and that's going to save you time and grief. So, the third in our series is going to be the five biggest mistakes people make in training. So, that's next time. This time was my secrets to hiring good employees and the core competency, that's 3.4 in Texas anyway, human resource leadership and development, personnel management. And please do comment, send me your questions, your comments. Hopefully this will be loaded on a page that has space for you just to type in. That would be great, but if it is not on such a page, then feel free to email me at info@ orgstrat.net, orgstrat.net. The reason that's my email is because the business name I'm using is Organizational Strategies. So my URL is www.orgstrat.net. Now, this information was given to you for free, but if you want training credit, clock hours, please send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope with $5, okay, we're saying $3.99 introductory offer, to Sharon Sorrells at Organizational Strategies, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Well, I see we're coming up to the half hour mark, and I'd like to be able to give you an hour of training credit. So, as an exercise, why don't you send me your three best open-ended questions for hiring people in your center? Send me the three best open-ended questions for hiring and add that to your request. Be sure you tell me which certificate you want, right? So this is three secrets for hiring, and put that in along with your $5 and your stamped addressed envelope to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Next time we're going to talk about the five biggest mistakes people make in training. And by the way, not a mistake to buy my binder of the 8 hours of pre-service training. These are laid out exactly like licensing, like they're laid out in minimum standards, the 8 hours. They're on CD, so you can just hand it to a prospective employee. Exercises that you can photocopy. Multiple choice tests, short, easy, multiple choice tests that you can photocopy. Answer sheets that you will not photocopy, and certificates. And you can use this over and over again. You will know exactly what they're being trained in. You can even tweak it and add to it, but it will always be the same, so your people will be cultured in what you want. And there are some comments specifically for the church-affiliated schools. It's not so overweighted that this wouldn't work for anyone, but the church-affiliated schools particularly have some situations that I've never seen addressed. This is high content. It's not big words or anything, but it is high content, and the directors were telling me they had no good options. Everything else was either too old or too fluffy, and they needed something that was audio and not reading. And so I have made it for you. It is unbeatable quality, unbeatable price. It's here now, very easy. It solves your problems, and your competition's buying it. So if you want that, is $197 plus shipping and handling and tax in Texas. So sales tax in Texas at the Travis County rate is 8.25%, and shipping and handling anywhere in the United States is $7. So you can do the math, $197 plus $7 plus whatever tax. Thank you. If you'd like to know more about that, you can find out more about that on www.orgstrat.net, www.orgstrat.net. I hope you have enjoyed this. Let me hear from you. info@greatshalom.org. Thank you. Blessings to you. May you always have the very best staff. Okay, and apologies, but let's make a checklist so we're completely clear to get training credit. Send me what course this is. And this is the three secrets for hiring staff. Three questions, open-ended questions. That's your homework, so you can get a full hour. Otherwise, if I don't get the three questions, it's just half an hour. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and the fee. And normally, this would be $5. But special introductory offer, $3.99. And you can send that in a check if you want to do this land mail to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. And you may find that there is a way to do this online if I get that tech done, but still send me the email with all this information so I can send you an email certificate back and get you the right one. So we're hoping that we'll get the tech done so we can do this online, but since it's all new, be sure that you've done all of your things so that I can do mine and things don't get all balled up. Okay? Thank you so much. Hope to serve you again. And this is Sharon Sorrow signing off, wishing you the best, staff.